let me move on to the best 5 minutes of the day. And so, you know, it's interesting. Our friend, I'll see if I can get this as a closing, but our friend Tammy, Brian and Tammy Christensen, we know from Eau Claire. And so Tammy apparently has the love language of gifts. And so she gives kudos to her husband. I'll search that out. In the meantime, we were talking about the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, something to keep in your mind. And yesterday, you know, so for love is patient, yes. Love is kind, from 1 Corinthians 13, 4, you elaborated for a paragraph in Letters to the Beloved. So 1 Corinthians 13, I don't know how the whole breakdown, but love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not rude, right, is kind of the next section.
Yep.
Do you want to read what you wrote about it?
Yep. Sure. So in this is verse 5, and it says, love is not rude, sarcastic, or mean-spirited. There are too many harsh words in the world. Be countercultural. Here's another way to be countercultural. Do not bowl people over with your sense of rightness. Life is not about you. Love and irritability cannot last long in the same container, and anger drives people away from me. Similarly, pull up the bitter root of resentment. You already have everything you need in me.
Yeah, that's great. What jumps out at me are two things there. One is, well, that's great. Do not bowl people over with your sense of rightness. Talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think there's so much of that in the world right now, it seems. The idea that we hold on to being right, and it, you know, it tends to lead almost to a sarcastic or arrogant response to other people. We don't really listen to other people to hear their perspectives. We just assert our own dominance, assert our own rightness. You know, whether it is in regard to our faith or politics or so many different things. You know, it's about my team is right, your team is wrong. And love doesn't act that way. Love seeks to listen, seeks to honor another, even when they disagree with us. And, you know, I think when we see that in the church, it's no wonder that people are walking away, that people are wanting to leave, because we're not patient enough to actually listen to what people are saying.
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, that
and I think it
your
is
whole three questions thing about, right? I mean, that idea is that, you know, how did you come to that, et cetera? Why do you believe that? How'd you come to that? And is it possible you could be wrong? I mean, to have that, even as you're giving that description, I mean, I'm just, you know, it can be played out in a Saturday Night Live sketch. Like, I'm just so right. I just know I'm right. And I'm just going to tell the world how right I am. So,
yeah. Yeah. Right. And I don't think, unfortunately, we don't need to wait till Saturday Night Live to see things like that. All we need to do generally is get on social media and we can see that sort of thing happening.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, it's not funny most of the time.
Well, the other line in here that's really good is pull up, I mean, much, much easier said than done, but a great word picture, pulling up the bitter root of resentment. I mean, we want to pull the weeds out of the garden, but how about pulling the weeds out of our heart, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I think that's one that tends to get, if you've ever tried to pull up a thistle, they get really buried deep. And you know, I had mentioned, I think my 2020 phrase is going to be rooted and grounded in love. And so to come across this morning about pulling up the roots of resentment, I think that's, you know, those two things maybe go hand in hand.
So it's not going to be a word of the year. It's going to be a phrase of the year.
It might be. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yours was spirit led. So that was a phrase, right?
Spirit dash led. Spirit led.
Right. Okay.
The question, a fair question would be, is could you use spirit led in Scrabble? And you probably couldn't. So.
Right. Right. And right. I certainly couldn't use rooted and grounded in love because that's too many letters.
I'm having trouble typing it. When I see Tammy Christensen, I'm seeing various Tammy Christensens, but I'm not seeing the one that I wanted to. Anyhow, she had a fun post where basically she's like, if your love language is gift giving, to all of those people who have somebody like that in their lives. She's like, it doesn't have to be big, because apparently what Brian did, he put lights on their house for the first time, and it's really nice across the top and I think the windows. And then she said, and he got a big box of the, you know, of small packages of baked sour cream and onion potato chips. And it seems, and Tammy basically is in the earthly version of heaven. Because apparently she said you can't find those kind of chips anywhere these days, and he did. It was a really fun post, though.
Awesome.
So, yeah. All right.
That's very cool. Very cool.
All right. Well, have a great weekend. Probably breakfast is off.
We'll talk soon. Yeah.
Probably breakfast. I mean, it's kind of questionable.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be in touch. Yeah. Thank you, then. Jason Cans from Letters to the Beloved. Good stuff. Like chewing on that. And we'll continue on with the love chapter on Monday. 8 before 7, WWIB, your Christmas station. And good morning to Susan.
Good morning, everybody. Okay. Remember watch and warning? I never understood the difference until I read this thing online.
Winter storm watch, winter storm warning going to affect the noon today, yeah?
The watch is mom bought stuff for tacos. That's the watch.
Okay.
The warning is we're having tacos right now. You
it
can smell the
tacos.
You see people eating tacos, it's like that's the warning.
Is that a fact? Even if the winter storm's not on Tuesday, you still... Okay. Apparently, you were out there and you saw the road delay that we were talking about.
Yes.
On 53 South. So, okay. But you were coming north. So,
I was coming north, and I always feel sorry. Mm-hmm. And when I see the red and blue lights, first of all, I'm relieved they're not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I feel sorry that somebody is in either an accident or problem. But yeah, totally backed up. Not quite to Melby, but I get on at the North Crossing.
Have you ever been a part of gift exchanges, like in the office or something like that?
Sure.
Yeah.
No, and I can't wait for this year. What are we doing?
Well, you know, I think I already have something for you, Susan.
You do?
So, I mean, I hope it's kind of a lighthearted, fun gift amongst us. And probably, like, it looks like Josh Stream is working for us on Christmas Eve. So on the 23rd, Thursday the 23rd, put that on your calendar.
Right.
As our gift exchange. And maybe at, whatever.
What day is it? The gift exchange?
Thursday, December 23rd.
We're just making plans live on the
air
here.
So it's Christmas Eve.
Yes.
Got
there you go. We could just keep backing that up. But have you ever received a really bad holiday gift from a coworker? In a survey of 1,200 office workers, here are some of the strangest gifts that people have received from coworkers.
These actually were given.
Yeah.
Now, you look at these and you think, what were they thinking?
Yeah, you know, just kind of getting rid of something.
I want to hear the backstory.
All right, so first of all, somebody once gave a life jacket. Here you go. I mean, you might,
Work for a maritime organization.
Right, which is better than like a cement block and a rope.
Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Oh, how about a sack of potatoes?
That's weird. Handy.
Were they Yukon Gold?
I mean, make some French fries.
That's right.
When a coworker gives you a sack of potatoes, make French fries.
This next one is like not for Caleb. Limited. I mean, Caleb would not want this one.
No, thank you.
No. Go ahead.
Caleb.
A stuffed rattlesnake. Why? For one thing, why would anybody even make such a thing?
Well,
it's not like a little cuddly plush thing. Oh, I'm going to just take my rattlesnake and cuddle with it, go to sleep.
I can tell you why. You're young, you don't remember. They make them so that they can compress into a jar that says peanuts. So when someone opens it up, this big stuffed rattlesnake just jumps out. Did you ever have one of those?
I know what you're talking about. They're not fun. This is a strange office gift once given, a used dirty vase or vase.
You couldn't even rinse it off a little bit before?
Okay, this reminds me of a few years ago. My sister has been very generous with me. And like when I had children, she'd bring over... One time I saved all the dishes and stuff from the stuff she brought me, and I wrapped it up really nicely for Christmas, and I wrote a little note that said, when I saw this, I just thought of you, because it's yours. Merry Christmas.
Right.
All right, how about a stained pot holder? Who would give anyone a stained pot holder? But it's something that's a coworker.
The gravy that's staining this was really good.
These gifts remind me of somebody on their way out of the house going, oh, yeah, we got that gift exchange at work. Here, I'll just
grab something.
Yes.
One final real off-the-wall, strange, kind of bad Christmas gift from coworkers. Someone gave a goldfish in a plastic bag for someone who didn't own fish. Merry Christmas. Here's some responsibility.
Maybe you want to start.
Feed this to your stuffed rattlesnake.
Actually, Michelle did that to me on my birthday. She gave me like a little fish tank, and it was like, how long could you keep that fish alive?
Oh, my goodness. That sounds like Michelle.
My kids call him Orangey. I call him Agent Orange. Agent Orange is what I call him. He's still alive.
He's still alive?
My birthday was the end of May. He is still alive.
Way
challenge
to go.
Accepted,
and Michelle's just twinkling. Her eyes are dancing, saying, good for you, Caleb. Bringing the fun to life.
Getting you caught up on everything you might have missed. News, sports, politics, pop culture in the past week. It's our public service. We do it in condensed form because we know you're busy. We call it headlines. Here we go.
Researchers say blue whales need to eat the equivalent of, get this now, 80,000 Big Macs every single day.
And fun nature fact, this is why we rarely see blue whales on the surface. They're always down in the drive-thru.
I guess so.
A study in India found that camel milk has vitamin C content 3 times higher than cow's milk, and that using camel milk in ice cream, tea, and coffee can help reduce blood sugar levels.
But camel ice cream is high in calories, so order your cone with one hump, not two.
Smart. Researchers at the University of Maryland Medical Center discovered that people who laugh are less likely to have heart disease than people who don't laugh.
Nice. So if you want to keep from having a heart attack, exercise, watch your weight, and feel free to watch lots of Adam Sandler movies.
You're safe.
Oh boy, poor Adam. Hey, the fastest roller coaster in the whole world this year is the Jersey Devil at Six Flags, New Jersey.
It's so fast, you can toss your cookies at the top of the hill and be apologizing to people on the ground before it hits
wow.
them.
Winter's almost here.
Yeah, I switched to my winter socks. They're the same as my summer ones, only with fewer holes.
Well, an Amazon outage on Tuesday caused some websites to go down.
One of them was MySpace, though no one noticed.
Oh, remember MySpace?
I do.
And finally, Susan, it's time to go shopping, you know.
Oh, wow.
You know you spent too much on Christmas last year when you pull up to Walmart and the manager offers to park your car.
Right this way, Mrs. Jacoby.
Those are your headlines. Now you're all caught up.
Every week is different as we come to the best of the week. Some sentimentality involved with this one and a good amount of food along the way.
I'm Mark. There's only one truly special best Christmas treat, and that's the old-fashioned fruitcake made with dates and cherries and nuts and maybe any other thing you want to add to it. But that definitely will always be the number one Christmas treat. You all have a great day. God bless you.
What I make every year is probably my favorite, and that's peanut butter balls. Again, homemade.
So
now, I don't make them like the crazy folks do in Ohio where they call them Buckeyes and they don't cover it all with chocolate. No, you have to cover the entire peanut butter ball with chocolate.
First victory of the year on the line. Goff's got it. Back, looks, throws, ends it. Yes. Caught! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! They did it!
Yes, my favorite Christmas food is marinated chicken wings. My mother would put them in a marinade sauce and overnight and cook them up. They would be real good come Christmas Day.
I love good old puppy chow, or Muddy Buddies, or whatever you want to call
puppy
it.
Chow.
With a little extra peanut butter. Yeah, so that's fantastic. Yes. So I'm thinking this was mid-90s.
Yes.
And Christmas in Iowa. So, again, we always go to Harlan, Iowa. That's where my dad's parents are. And Grandpa and Grandma Swenson there in Harlan. And I don't remember if we circled this or if she just came up with it, but it was one of the best gifts ever for, you know, again, 8-9-year-old boy, whatever I was. She gave us and all of our cousins laser challenge. And so it was the little vests.
Oh, wow.
And the little laser guns. It's
like
all
Action
safe.
City.
Yeah, and there's a little orange center circle on the chest plate. And so then, again, when you shoot the laser, it goes... So we turned off all the lights downstairs in the basement, which has a concrete floor and old furniture and things like that, flipped the furniture over, and we battled and battled and battled for hours with laser challenge.
What?
Me and my cousin.
A
of course,
great gift.
Jeremy figured out that if you just cover the center chest plate with your arm, then one could get you.
No fair, Jeremy.
Jeremy, he did the same when we had Nerf battles, too, and we thought we could keep him from cheating when we had laser challenge, but he still found a way.
I thought this was a gentleman's game.
I love Jeremy, though.
Hi, this is Phil Sinclair, and I really love the wonderful gingerbread cookies that my wife makes every Christmas, and she decorates them beautifully. They're penguins, hedgehogs, Santa Clauses, all kinds of beautiful things, and just they are just delicious. So every Christmas, it's a wonderful treat.
I was telling Susan about raspberry shortbread dreams. My mom made some of those for the Kids Quest leaders at church last night, so those are fantastic.
I just wanted to probe a little bit, because I'm the fruitcake mania here. If I
it
could.
Is it. Okay, four Randy, of us.
Randy started us off this morning. Favorite treat?
My favorite holiday treat, and this is going to seem unusual, but I really enjoy fruitcake. I do. My mother made the best fruitcake, and we grew up on that, and I just enjoy it.
And that started us off, and we've had several others who've chimed in, and Susan, you're among them. So what is it you like about fruitcake so much?
Well, I think it's the first of all, the flavor just reminds you of Christmas.
Okay.
The fruit is candied. But not too, I mean, there's definitely a crunch to the candied cherries and the pineapple. And then you have the nuts that are in there, like the pecans. And it's just this wonderful mix of crunchy and chewy and sweet. And it's wonderful.
But it gets made fun of, right? And that's why almost everybody who comes in goes, you're going to find this surprising.
Yeah.
I'm curious, though, is this the way that everyone truly feels, or it's just we know that the wide swath and wave of public opinion, you know, it's sort of like, you know, how the internet loves bacon, right?
Right.
Well, I enjoy bacon, but honestly, I'd probably rather have a nice sausage patty.
And you're just like, well, Willie's like, I'm so sick of this fetishizing bacon.
Marketing never got rolling.
Yeah, and so it's the same thing where it's like, oh, bacon, everything's better with bacon. Bacon's wonderful, but again, I'd prefer a sausage patty, and I just wonder sometimes if the vitriol directed at fruitcake, if some people are like, well, actually, it's not that bad, but I'm afraid to admit it.
That's right.
It's kind of the ugly Christmas sweater of food, kind of that distinction.
But look at how ugly Christmas sweaters are actually in popularity now, how much they've grown, and so maybe fruitcake just needs an advocate.
Yeah.
Maybe fruitcake needs someone to stand and say, you know what, it's not half bad.
Can I be that advocate?
Wow.
Me and Randy.
A lot of folks love pecan pie bars. Mm. That's up there, too.
Wow.
Man.
Can we gain weight just by him naming
it? Yeah, minty chocolate chip cookies, homemade fresh fudge.
Yes.
Really?
Just when it's absolutely fresh. And again, we made that a lot.
I only eat stale in January that Phil brings home from the office. What's so great about it?
No, it's great.
Yeah, when it's truly fresh. And I always think of my grandpa Byers. Because mom would always make an extra batch of fudge because he liked to give them to the mail carrier and folks at church and just, you know, so and his neighbor and so he'd have several plates of fudge. Mom he'd always buy all the ingredients and then mom would make it for him. And
Sarah.
So I always think of my grandpa when I think of fudge as well.
Is that our lemon meringue pie grandpa?
That's the same grandpa, yep. Lemon meringue pie and giving away fudge.
Can't wait to meet him in heaven.
Yeah.
Good morning, Mark. My name's Doug Madison from Sand Creek, Wisconsin. Just wanted to let you know that when I was a little kid, we used to have lutefisk for Christmas, and I used to think that was good stuff. Well, here, just a year or so ago, I hadn't had it for 40 years. I thought, you know, I'm going to have it again. Well, let me just tell you, I can wait another 40 years before I have it another time. And I'm 68, so go figure there.
All right.
Love you guys. Keep up the good work. Bye.
The best of the week. Well done, Halvo.
A lot
so
of fun.
So good.
Thank
well
you.
Well done.